Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
E in me lo chiese per ottener l'affetto di non so qual crudele.
Music from the City Opera performance of Elixir of Love by Donizetti. And this hour on The Brian Lehrer Show, how a debate over Carmen and La Traviata figures into the City Opera having to leave Lincoln Center. Historian Jill Lepore on how the labor battles of yesterday set up the labor battles of today. And Dana Stevens from Slate previews this summer's indie movies. And we will get right to that City Opera intrigue, an artistic and financial dispute of operatic proportions, in about a minute. But first, we are now in the final hour of our 2011 spring fundraiser. Nobody is more relieved than me. And I want to thank all our new members, all of our renewing members, and all of our sustaining members. We thank you for stepping up voluntarily and supporting the station. And if we haven't gotten you yet this year, we've got to get you by 12 o'clock noon, when I will zip my lips about supporting the station for the next 5 months. So if you've been meaning to get to this or just a little bit on the fence, we are taking down the fence in less than an hour. You have to get off on one side or the other. We hope you'll come down on the side of being a listener supporter of your public radio station, and not just a passive listener. And as an extra incentive, the largest financial incentive that we've had in any membership drive in several years, for this final hour of the drive, we've been given one last line of matching money from a very generous anonymous donor who's going to actually kick in $2 for every dollar that you pledge. So as we ask for full participation, always, as this annual spring fundraiser comes to an end, we ask that everybody who hasn't renewed your membership yet this year do it, especially if it comes up that you know it comes up this time of year. Anybody who has listened for a long time, maybe you've listened for months to WNYC, for even years to WNYC, and never made an annual membership pledge, now is such a great time for us for you to do it for the first time. If you pledge $100, we'll get $300, et cetera, because of this two-for-one match from very generous anonymous listener. Do it right now. Last hour of the drive, starting now. 1-888-376-WNYC. 1-888-376-9692. Or pledge online at WNYC.org with that two-for-one match in effect for this final hour of the drive. Thanks so much to all of you for considering it. Now to that debate over Carmen and La Traviata as a factor in the City Opera being forced to leave Lincoln Center. Remember, this is not the Met. This is the New York. This is New York's other opera company, known for being smaller and feistier, the one that Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia once nicknamed the People's Opera. But the City Opera has fallen on such hard times that it can't afford its longtime home at Lincoln Center, destination unknown. But Erica Orden of the Wall Street Journal reports this week that singers and production staff at City Opera are blaming part of the decline on the company being, you might call it, too innovative, that popular classics like Carmen and La Traviata and La Bohème are wrongly being ignored. We want our standard repertoire. Their letter to management says it's, quote, become an opera company that doesn't do opera. Erica Orden from The Wall Street Journal joins us now. Hi, Erica. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about this artistic kerfuffle between the traditional and the avant-garde.
Sure. Well, what happened was that as you said, the singers and production staff, on the eve of the company's critical board meeting last week, sent a letter to the chairman and to the general manager and other management, and basically argued that the company should take what they described as a different direction, and said that in avoiding the popular classics or the war horses of opera, the company has essentially failed to entice audiences and fill the seats of the David H. Koch Theater. And And their argument is essentially is that the company has many of these classics in its repertory, and that the singers and other performers would be able to present these fairly easily without much rehearsal, but that the company has chosen to program other more experimental works that haven't really drawn opera goers.
Any City Opera singers or production staff happen to be listening right now? We have time for one or two of you if you happen to be out there and want to weigh in. Is this standard repertoire for commercial purposes versus the innovation that City Opera is associated with? Or is that too stark a framing? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you're in the company or on the staff, for Erica Orden from The Wall Street Journal, who writes about opera for them. And isn't this the dilemma of many opera companies and orchestras and theater companies in hard times, Erica? They don't want to do the classical top 20 for the rest of their lives. It's actually not that satisfying to them as artists, but for many it's the only way to sell enough tickets to survive.
Well, it is, but the other interesting element of it is that the argument in opera circles for a while has been that, you know, these companies really need to find newer and really younger audiences, and one tactic that a lot of companies have tried is to introduce more experimental works and introduce fresher, newer pieces and faces, and even a company like the Met Opera has tried that as well. And of course, the Met Opera does that in addition to presenting a lot of these standard classics.
And I guess one could ask if they'll be just another standard repertoire company. Why does City Opera need to exist at all? We already have the Met for the standards.
Well, that's we do have the Met for the standards, but City Opera has always has for a long time positioned itself as, you know, as you mentioned, Mayor LaGuardia called it the people's opera, and it has offered some enticements that the Met usually doesn't, which is cheaper ticket prices and a lot of different other incentives that you can't really find at the Met or that are less common
All right.
at that company.
Here is a patron, Patricia in Montclair, City Opera goer. But Patricia, you're saying it's going downhill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for years. I'm an on-site evaluator for the government, so I'm not a staff member. But I noticed it going downhill. I've been an opera singer and an arts administrator for 40 years, and it started going downhill for me. I love City Opera, young, vital singers, when they did Orfeo naked, because what it did to the new listener was mix them up. There was you can't mix centuries. You can't strip the indigenous quality out of the opera without losing patrons.
And was it sensationalist and gimmicky, in your opinion?
I think it's an inside joke in a particular. I think the stage directors took over the opera about 35 years ago and made a mess of it.
Erica, do you hear that a lot from City Opera goers or former City Opera goers?
I mean, what I hear more often is that they're just, they want the argument, I think, is that it's always better for, to have an alternative to the Met and an alternative opera company in the city. And I think there's just a tremendous amount of concern that it will, that City Opera is on the road to going out of business. And whether or not that's true, that is the concern among people that I've talked to.
By the way, has the Met, which is supposed to be the state conservative sibling, actually out-innovated City Opera since Peter Gelb took over a few years ago? They are trying some new things. They did a rarely heard Rossini this spring, and they piped some of their live performances into movie theaters all over the country. I know people in several states who now are like, I'm going to the Met. So that's a people's opera kind of move in terms of access.
That's true. I mean, they've had a great amount of success with that program, with the HD broadcast program, and they really trying a lot of innovative new works, and you know, in the next couple of years you'll see operas by very young composer in the city, Nico Muli, and many other you know, fresher faces over there. So I suppose that is an argument to be made.
All right, let's go to Ethan in Brooklyn, who I think has sung with the company. Ethan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Good. Thanks. So what do you think about this whole thing?
Oh, I just wanted to say that I sang two shows at City Opera, and they were both, one of them was very contemporary, and one of them was a sort of neglected, more classical work. But I think the solution that companies hit upon is to do a mix, obviously. But what I notice is, in Europe, the thing that happens is where I sing mostly is... They're scheduling the classic works, like I'm about to go do Parsifal in Switzerland, but the productions themselves are extremely avant-garde. So you take a hit show with a name that's going to sell tickets, and then you can get your experimental ya-yas out by
right.
just fiddling with the piece, opposed to scheduling stuff that no one's going to buy a ticket to because they've never heard of it.
Ethan, thank you very much. And so there's a critique of City Opera in terms of things that they choose to do rather than how they choose to do things that people know. And Erica, the financial difficulty, as you report the numbers, is mm-hmm. really extreme. The endowment dwindled from $55 million to just $9 million. That's shocking. Over what period of time did that happen?
That's right. That happened over, I believe it was about 2 or 3 years, and a big part of that was that the company went dark for a season while the Koch Theater was being renovated, and it ended up having to plunder its endowment essentially for a total of about $23 million to pay its bills, which, you know, companies are. Nonprofits avoid that basically at all costs, but it did take that route and has never really recovered from that. So it's now about $9 million, and you know, if it's going to, it also faced a $5 million deficit this season, and so for it to soldier on, it's really going to need to. Undertake some major fundraising initiatives.
And this current state of the endowment is actually improvement of their fates after shutting down entirely for a season. They did make a big splash this year with their evenings of one-act monodramas, so maybe they're starting to come back through creativity. And we just have 30 seconds left, but they're leaving Lincoln Center because they can't afford their share of the upkeep at the Koch Theater, and they're going where?
Well, they don't know yet, or they haven't said. The idea is that they will find an alternative home base, that will allow them to have to present full scale productions, of which they plan on doing three next season, as well as find some other alternative venues that are smaller scale and will allow them to do mid-sized productions, and they have two of those planned for next season. So they're in the process of looking for all these new spots.
Carmen and La Traviata versus the avant-garde at the City Opera being forced to leave Lincoln Center. Erica Orden from the Wall Street Journal writes about opera. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Fuggevo l'ora, sine pria voluta, libia.